I will tell you this morning, and by the way, good morning, family. Hope everyone is great today and ready to be here. I woke up a little tired this morning. Anybody else in that boat? My day yesterday was spent with one of my children who happened to get this thing you call a speeding ticket. And I went to court with her originally, and the judge was very, very nice and said, this can be expunged from your record if you go to sit and listen about driving better. But you've got to take a parent with you. So, somehow that parent ends up being me, okay? So we're sitting in court yesterday listening to the guy sharing the information that needs to be had so that she can get through the course. And at some point, by the way, I was sitting there multiple times with having to try to pry my eyes open. Y'all do that when you listen to me. So anyway, one of those times, right? You're just sitting there trying to stay awake and trying to get through the day. And I got to sit, as I was sitting there at one point, I got to thinking, I wonder sometimes if we think of church that way, where the judge has expunged our record, but we feel like it's necessary to go to church in order to keep that status. And so we come in and we sit and we listen and we go out unchanged. But I got to tell you guys, I'm here because I'm free. I've been set free from the law that condemned me, that there's no way I could keep it perfectly, and Jesus did for me. And I'm here not because I have to. I'm here because I get to. And I hope that you feel that way too this morning. I hope that the words that you hear are life, and they bring life. Last week we learned that we're called to freedom, that we are no longer slaves to the sin of the flesh, but we live free through the grace of God. We're not to live out that freedom, though, for ourselves or for selfish reasons, but we're supposed to live that freedom out for the love of others and for the love of God. Paul says this in Galatians 5, verse 13 and 14. He says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Paul is sharing with us that we grow in grace and in freedom as we grow in love. The more we love, the more we reflect Christ and the very nature of God. Are you more loving? When you see your life from beginning to right now in the present, are you more loving than you once were? I often have people ask me, they'll come sit in my office and they'll say, "Phil, how do we know if we're growing spiritually?" And some people think that's a hard answer. I think it's a very easy answer that we're going to find out today, okay, in this particular lesson. Because we know what it's like to fake it, right? Y'all know what I'm talking about? You know what it's like to come to church and put on a good show by just being here, by sitting in a seat. Maybe even you'll teach a class, maybe go on a mission trip, maybe you'll participate in something. But all the while, we can do all that stuff and remain unchanged inside. We could be void of the love that Paul was talking about and describing to the Galatians. We may be going through all the motions without fully being devoted disciples of Christ. So how do we know? How do we know if we are growing? How do we know if we are becoming who we are meant to be? In the parable of the soils, Jesus tells us that we know we're growing in love when we bear fruit. Those who bear fruit not only hear the word and they receive it, but they put it into action. It's seen in their life and in their attitude. Jesus says this, "As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. So remember this, disciples are different from those who simply just hear the word and just get some understanding from it. They need the concepts to move from head to heart to hands. They need to live out what has been so freely given to them. When they begin to live a disciple's lives, when we begin to live a disciple's life, our thoughts, our behaviors, our actions, our attitudes reflect the one we follow. This is the fruit that we bear, which only comes by the grace of God through Jesus, and it teaches us how to love. Jesus goes on with this idea a little further. He says this, every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits. He goes on to say in the next verse, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Now, I got to stop here and say for just a moment, because we're talking about grace. This is not saying that we get into heaven by our works. Amen? Because we ain't getting into heaven by our works. It doesn't work that way. Instead, Jesus is trying to tell us that our works, our actions, our attitudes, that all of that stuff is simply a demonstration of what or who owns our hearts. Because out of the overflow of the heart, what? The mouth speaks. Out of the overflow of the heart, we move and live and have our being. Whatever is inside is going to come out. What's inside? When we are in step with and even fulfilling the will of God, we bear fruit that's in keeping with his character, not our own. It's different. But the only way that we can stay in step with the will of God is to stay in step with the Spirit. And the Spirit is constantly trying to lead us. And for those of you that have been in our Holy Spirit class this semester, we've talked a lot of stuff about the Holy Spirit. But one of the things that we started with in that class was how many of us grew up in an environment where we didn't talk about the Spirit that much. It was just like a gentle nod toward the Spirit, knowing that the Spirit is present, but we got to get on to do our work. Let me just tell you something. You can't get on to do your work without the Spirit. It's an impossibility. The only way we can stay in step with God is to stay in step with the Spirit. Now, here comes the struggle. We have warring factions in our flesh, okay, in our sinful bodies. It's just like this tension between the Spirit and ourself. Paul talked about this in Romans chapter 7. And y'all have heard me say this before. I call it the doo-doo passage, okay? It's that passage where Paul says, he starts off with this, we know that the law is spiritual. That tells us that the law is good, okay? It's spiritual. But I am flesh, sold under sin, for I do not understand my own actions. And this is the doo-doo part, right? For I do not do what I want to do, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but that sin that dwells in me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on carrying out. For I do not I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells in me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. Anybody feel that? For I delight in the law in my inner being, but I see in my members, in my body, another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? What's the answer to that question? Jesus. Stephen talked about it last week. We have been set free. All of us struggle with this same back and forth battle that Paul was dealing with. But guys, there's hope. Paul discovered that even though this war is raging inside of him, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. By sending Jesus, God condemned the sin of the flesh so that what the law required might be fulfilled. And I just got to say this. I have it in big, bold letters in my text here. What an awesome God we serve. Man, when you read that passage in Romans 7, you just feel like, yeah, I feel that. But man, he set us free. Those who are devoted to God walk not by flesh. We walk according to the Spirit. Paul says this, those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. But how do we keep from setting our minds on the things that just come naturally to us? They come very easy. Anger comes quickly, doesn't it? When somebody wrongs you, anger's right there, just waiting. How do we deal with that? How do we battle with it? And I've shared this story before, but it always reminds me of that battle of a Native American parable. And it's one day a tribal elder is teaching his grandson about life, and he says, a fight is going on inside of me. He says this to his grandson. It's a terrible fight, and it's between two dogs. One is evil. He is anger, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego, and on and on. He then continued. The other is the good dog. He is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, faith. The same fight is going on inside of you, grandson, and inside of every other person too. And the grandson thinks about it for a moment, then he asks his grandfather, which dog will win? The chief simply replies, the one you feed the most. That's gonna be inside of us, guys, all the time. We're gonna battle from within. But which dog are you feeding? The moral is clear. If we continue to feed the flesh will win. Not because the flesh has any power, but because you've given it to it. But if we choose to be fed by the Spirit of God, then the Spirit we are led by and live in will transform us. When we rest our knowledge and our understanding on things of the Spirit, He grows us and matures us as we walk with Him, and He demonstrates how we're supposed to live in this kingdom that has begun. Paul goes on to say, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. But if the Spirit of Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Amen? Because in that, if Jesus can be raised from the dead by the Spirit, so can you. And if the Spirit is alive in you, you are alive in the Spirit. But if we are dead in our transgressions and allowing the Spirit to be quenched, the Spirit cannot do its work in us. Writer Kenneth Boa says this, the Christian life is the life of Christ in us. Without a moment-by-moment reliance upon the Holy Spirit, this level of living is impossible. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the Father and of the Son. And as He dwells within us, He works to conform us and transform us into the image of His Son from the inside out. Without this, it's impossible to live like Christ in this world. We will keep trying and trying, but always failing. The Spirit has to empower us to do it. When we walk in step with the Spirit, we walk in step with God. And He grows us and matures us in Christ's likeness. When this happens, our lives bear witness to the one we love the most. the one we love the most. The problem is too many of us across the globe, too many of us want to belong to Jesus and wear his name without allowing the Spirit to transform our lives. We want the benefits without the commitment. A.W. Tozer, one of my favorite writers, wrote many years ago, "The average professed Christian lives a life so worldly and careless that it is difficult to distinguish him from the unconverted man." When people look at you and how you live your life, would they think you're in step with the Spirit or walking in step with the world? So this brings us to our main passage for the day, Galatians 5. Hopefully you've turned there already. And in this passage, Paul talks about how to grow in grace, love, and freedom. And it's simple, but not simple. It's living and walking in the Spirit. And I got to tell you this, we are walking regardless. All of us are on a journey, every single one. You cannot keep yourself exempt from the journey of life. The question actually comes back of who are we in step with as we walk? Who are we walking with? So this is what Paul says to the Galatians starting in verse 16 of chapter 5. "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do." Remember the doo-doo passage, right? "But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident." Y'all can see them over here. "Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy," and the list goes on and on and on. Even Paul says it's not done. This list can go on and on. "And many like these," he says. "But I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." Now, if you were to take a look at this list, anybody struggle with any of these? Any of y'all come back to these regularly? No one struggles with anger, right? And I know we're all past jealousy. And we've gone way beyond idolatry. I mean, we've got that right now, right? We struggle with those. The desires of the flesh, as Paul tells us, are in opposition, directly opposed to the desires of the Spirit of God. The works or the fruits of the flesh are very evident. We can see them. You know them. You feel them. They are the things that we don't want to do, but we keep on doing. And it drives us insane. Think about it. These things, they keep beating us up and wearing us down. Day by day by day, they bind us and they make us slaves because we have chosen to let them do so. And then we drop our shoulders and our heads bow down. But, and there is a great but here, we do not have to remain enslaved by them. We do not have to be bound hand to hand, feet to feet, to the desires of the flesh. We have been set free. Not we will be free, we are free indeed. Right now, from the law of sin and death, from the struggles of the flesh. And when God freed us through his Son, he also gave us an incredible gift, and that is his Spirit. He didn't leave us alone to deal with these things. And instead of us turning to fight with them, he gave us his Spirit to do it for us. The Spirit is not just here like our conscience to tell us what's good and bad. Y'all remember those old cartoons with the devil on one side and the angel on the other? battling back and forth, and which one do you listen to? That is not what the Spirit's doing. The Spirit lives within us to transform, to conform, to form us into Jesus, to empower us to live as Jesus lived. Do you feel empowered? If you're sitting here right now and going, not really, then we have to make a change here. No one can come and make you feel empowered. No one can demonstrate that power in you. You have to free it within you. You have to let the Spirit loose in your life. And when the Spirit's set loose, hold on, it's going to be an incredible ride. Get this. The Spirit does not live in us to empower us to do what comes naturally. We don't need help with that. I don't need the Spirit to teach me how to be angry or to be jealous or to have fits of rage. I don't need that. It comes natural, sadly, right? Here's what the Spirit does. The Spirit lives in us and empowers us to do the supernatural. Does anybody else in here believe that but me? To do the supernatural. He gave us a list of these things that help us to do things supernaturally. The list that by the grace of God through freedom, the Spirit empowers us to do. It is the fruit that we bear in keeping in step with the Spirit. And it's evident to everyone. We know this list. The fruit of the Spirit is, say it with me, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Listen to this. Against such things, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. You know what happens? By the way, although these things are within us, they don't come naturally to us. The Spirit brings them out, empowers us to do them. And when that happens, then we are able to battle against all of that. Not by what we do, but what the Spirit does in us. Amen? Without it, guys, we will be lost in that. Simply put, this is how we know we're growing spiritually. If we are growing in the fruit of the Spirit in increasing measure, then we are growing in grace and love and in freedom. The fruit of the Spirit is the very essence of God. It's His character. It is who He is at His core. And the more we grow in that, the more we grow in God Christ-likeness. And it's actually the way God created us to be. If we are growing, hear this, listen as I go through these. If we're growing, we're growing in love in increasing measure. Are you more loving today than you were yesterday? If you're growing in Christ, you are growing in increasing measure in joy. You have more joy today than you did yesterday. I will have increasing measure of peace, patience. It doesn't mean that my patience fully met. It means it's getting better and getting better and better. I'm a work in progress. As the Spirit grows me, I will have kindness in increasing measure, goodness. I will be faithful to God and to others in increasing measure. I will be more gentle today than I was yesterday. And here's the hard one, but I'll exhibit self-control more. Y'all ever realize that it seems like an interesting one because it says self-control. And the world tells us that that means it's in your hands. But according to this, our self-control is in whose hands? The Spirit's. As the Spirit works in me, I am able to have self-control. What's the first thing on this list, by the way? Love. Love's the first thing. Do you know why? Because everything else falls beneath love. If I love, I will have these things. But I have to first love. Are we growing, as Paul said at the very beginning of my sermon, are we growing in love? Are we becoming who God is in his very nature? Growing in each of these characteristics that we see both in Christ and in God is a sign that the Spirit's at work within us. And the Spirit is empowering us to do those supernatural things. It demonstrates the Spirit is transforming every aspect of who we are to reflect who God is. It's staying in step with the Spirit, not in step with the world. And as we stay in step with the Spirit equips us to resist the desires of the flesh that come naturally to us. And when we do that, when we begin to produce these nine qualities of God, when we allow the Spirit to lead us instead of being led by our sinful desires, God's Spirit produces fruit. Produces fruit. And it's evident to those around us. When people see you, what do they see most? Now, I got to say this right here in this moment. It doesn't mean as we are being spiritually led that these won't pop up every once in a while. Remember, we're talking in increasing measure. We feel like we're failures because we don't have all this right now, here in every moment. But the ability of the Spirit is to suppress and then ultimately get rid of this list. Day by day, becoming more like Christ. With that in mind, do you actively depend on the Spirit's guidance so that you don't get wrapped up in yourself? When you think about things, where do most of your thoughts focus? Where do most of my thoughts focus? Do I focus on God, or do I allow a lot of my thoughts to be focused on being my own God? Remember, since the beginning, Adam and Eve struggled with the same struggle you're struggling with today. So the question is, do you see the fruit of the Spirit in increasing measure in your life? If you do, you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, you're growing spiritually. You don't know? Ask someone. Woo, now Phil got serious. Go talk to someone and say, I want you to be completely honest with me, because I know you would be. Do you see these growing in me? Well, yes, no. And let me tell you why I say no there. Are we willing to allow someone to speak into our spiritual walk to help us see what we don't see sometimes? Remember this, you are living and walking in the Spirit. Jesus made that possible. The fruit of the Spirit, because of that, should be evident. The fruit of the Spirit is an outward sign of an inward transformation. It is a sign of grace and love and freedom of Christ within you. And when the fruit of the Spirit is evident in that increasing measure, then you'll be able to reflect the one you love the most. Sadly, the reverse is also true, isn't it? Here's the deal. Our reflection is always a reflection of what or whom we love most. There's no way around it. So before I finish this morning, I want to share this important thought. We will never live out the Spirit's fruit perfectly on our own. But our role, our job, our duty is to stay in step with the Spirit, with the one who can. The Spirit will empower us to do not the natural, but the supernatural. Let's work on embracing the Spirit in our lives and do supernatural things. Amen. I don't know if anything hit you this morning. We always want to have the opportunity where we hear this gospel of grace and how the Spirit's working in us, where someone may go, I want that Spirit in me. I've not given my life to Christ. I've not been baptized and given my life over to Him forever. Man, don't let another day go without the Spirit coming in you and God freeing you from all of that. Not a single day. Today is the day. Maybe you're in a place in your life right now where you are letting this win. You're allowing it. And you want the Spirit to be back in you. Not back in you. To be made alive in you again. So that you can do what you are meant to do. And you just need prayers. Now's the time. We give you opportunity. You can come down front. There's elders in the back. There'll be people here that will receive you if you need someone. Come now as we stand and sing this song.